opening of our session, I read a portion of scripture. I would not be reading it again, but I just want to say that we have come to our second in our grouping, the five solas of the Reformation. And we have come to sola Christus, or Christ alone. And I can only touch on the peripherals, I use the word again, in discussing this axiom, this subject. It's a very controversial subject today. I was reading a book yesterday, and I assume that it is on the shelf. Fallible prophets. There is a group going on that are called continuanists, and you should get accustomed to these words when you hear me say them. I say them because it is out there, and it soon would get in here, and that's why I keep you alert. Continuanists and some very prominent men. And if you were a listener to Family Radio, you would see the swing now in embracing the continuanists. You probably would hear men that you never heard before in the era of Mr. Camping, who was guarding somewhat the truth, even though he had his issues. I'm not here to endorse Mr. Camping. He's dead and gone. But men, great men that we love, John MacArthur, Piper, Alistair Begg, and these men, if you listen to them carefully, you would find that they are embracing this continuanist movement. And I warn you here to exercise wisdom in who and what you are listening to. A lot of times people don't trust their pastor. Think he's not someone with six letters behind his name. So the school he went to is unknown, and therefore what he says doesn't worth anything. But may I also remind you that the apostles were similar, and therefore you ought to listen to the word of God. And that's why I come with this topic to you. You know, I did some work. It's not a perfect work, like any other man's work, but it is an aid to help you understand Christ alone, or solo Christus. In our Bible study hour, we will be considering this second of the solos. I was speaking to Frank and Dewana and Chief of Mary yesterday, and I was telling them what I'm going through, and they were delighted to hear that I'm finally addressing this important subject. So I trust they will be praying for these sessions as I come with them every now and again. The reason for these teachings and why these teachings were articulated in the form that they are was to refute the heresy taught in the church at Rome. Today, there is a need to reclaim these truths because how far the church has fallen amid a glut of professing evangelicals calling themselves Christians. They're all in the same bracket, the charismatic movement, and on, the Mormons, Christians. And we feel that everything they say is dogma. Wrong. It's the Bible alone that we should look to. The five solas set forth the truths which are surely believed among us. Some may hold to part of these truths in theory, but not in practice. We cannot practice perfectly any truth But our aim should be to practice what we preach. We cannot claim part of the truth and exempt other truths of the Word of God. The last time we looked at the slogan or the watchword, sola scriptura, or scripture alone, Latin word. That's what it means. That the Word of God is sufficient for all that pertains to life, as Peter says, and godliness. This means that we do not seek another source of divine truth. Like the continuously fallible prophets. What I mean is today men still have revelation from God. God speaks to them individually, but their revelation is fallible. Nonsense. The Bible says holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So when any giant comes to you with that, you have to dismiss it lovingly and vehemently. We do not seek another source of divine truth. And every cult has its hierarchy. The Jehovah's Witness have Russell, the Seventh-day Adventist have Ellen G. White, and on and on and on and on. Charismatic have their dreams and their visions. The Roman Catholic Church have the infallibility of the papacy. Oh, each one has someone or something that is on par with Christ and the scriptures. That's not possible. It can't be possible. Otherwise, I'm wrong. Dead wrong. We do not go outside the Word of God for information, or we do not go outside the Word of God for interpretation of the Bible, Louise. We go to the Word of God. The Bible interprets itself. The Bible is its own commentary. The Bible is its own dictionary. We have tools like lexicons and concordances, interlinears and stuff like that, that explain, like for me, the Greek and the Hebrew that I don't know, that I don't speak. So I would have to consult a lexicon that traces back to the original language. And that's where you get to understand better. And anytime you come to teach people, you better know what you're saying. And I guard this pulpit. I'm jealous of this pulpit. I say this because I give up the pulpit sometimes, but and at times I don't know the privacy of men's lives. But I challenge us to practice what we preach in this church. We do not go outside of the Bible for information. Everything about salvation and godly living is in the Bible. We mention some who may say the scripture is the only source of revelation with their mouths. But in principle and practice, they have another hierarchy. I just mentioned some of them to you. And if you pin them down, they will tell you, yes, we believe that she or he was infallible. Someone or something that is viewed in par with the scriptures. Some have placed prophetic utterance or utterances like visions or a person's writings as an authority, and they are denying the sufficiency of scripture. Others hold experiences such as a dream or a voice they heard. Now these things are a product of man's fallen nature. I remember that some time ago I dreamed that the rapture had taken place. Everybody gone, I was down here still. Is that God speaking to me? No, go back to what the Bible says. Sometimes I may dream a good dream. You know, I was sitting next to an apostle. Is that true? No, rubbish. Go back to the Word of God. It's about my culture. Go back to the Word of God. The Bible said in the book of Genesis, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed or credited to him for righteousness. That's all. Abraham believed. And Abraham didn't have a book. He had a vision because it was permissible in those days. He believed in Christ alone. Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. In other words, Abraham looked forward to the coming of Christ, the death of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ. That's why he offered his son, because he knew that God had the power to raise his son from the dead. And he did. Christ, man of faith. In considering this slogan that we are speaking of, when I talk about Christ alone, I am speaking of the person and work of Christ. His person refers to who he is. If one is a Jehovah's Witness, and I really do not apologize for mentioning these names, because we see them every day. They're all around us. They look very good. They hand out literature. They stand. They worship. But we ought to know what people teach. If one is a Jehovah's Witness, the man Christ Jesus is not eternal God. It's an insult. As a matter of fact, Nikai Masawi, Desire's mother, when I was doing a discipleship class, she had a Jehovah's Witness Bible. Obviously, someone gave her a Bible. She was very glad. This is a Bible. I took it from her. I took it away. I have it in my study. I replaced it with a King James Bible. But I took it from her, because I wanted to read through it. And I see all of the errors. As a matter of fact, they interpret a definite article with an indefinite article. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. They interpret that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was a God. And you can go through it with the Philippians text, that God have highly exalted him, that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ. They interpret that differently. A little poison in milk, a drop of strychnine in a glass of milk, make that milk poison. A little bit of error in the Word of God, make that book error. Little error in the gospel, make that gospel a false gospel. Now you should listen up to what these lectures that I'm bringing are saying. You make a choice. You can decide what you want to do. But let me know. Let me know. Because it will be unfortunate if we hold to some things that the church doesn't teach. Let me know. Don't be a deceiver. Come to me and tell me, Pastor, I don't believe none of that what you're saying. Let me know, please. If you were a Mormon over there in Utah, beautiful choir, Mormon Tabernacle Choir, I see them up and down the street here now, passing out their literature. You would believe that Joseph Smith, when he was 12, had a call from Jesus Christ. And Jesus gave him a vision. And this, the Mormons, they got mass marriages, they got all kinds. And every cult has its problem with immorality. When you believe wrong, you're going to behave wrong. If you are a Muslim, you would say that Jesus was a prophet like Muhammad. His word, so I assure you, his person, in contrast to what some say about his person. His work refers to his atoning work on the cross, his intercession for sinners. This is what merits salvation. From the time of the fall of man in Genesis 3, there is something about man that think they can develop a way to God. The man can earn merit for forgiveness. Man will not accept his total inability in all of his faculties. Adam and Eve offered fig leaves as a covering for their shame, not knowing that God looked right through them. God stripped them and covered them with animal skins to show atonement in blood is necessary. Prior to that, no animals were ever slain. Mankind was herbivorous. They were not to eat meat. Some of you go back to that, but that's not true, no, God. You could eat whatever meat you want. Back then, blood was not to be shed. Man couldn't eat meat. In order to eat meat, you got to kill something. But God, in slaying animals, showed the fall of man and the nature of the atonement. Blood. That slaying of the animal pointed to Christ. Cain decided that he knew everything. He offered fruit from the ground. God rejected him. Abel went the right way, Christ, by offering a slain animal. Christ alone. That's why Revelation can say in chapter 13, verse 8, that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Because in principle, God saw Christ, that he had already died for his elect. And that's why men in those days, like Noah and whoever else after, could be saved. They were saved because of Christ. Christ alone. Almighty God had already taken upon himself a means of having people for himself in undertaking their sins. So, as I continue the subject, I may go 5 minutes over. I will do so showing and explaining three reasons why Christ alone is to be taught. One, Christ is the only means of grace or salvation. Many believe that it is Christ plus tradition. One of the greatest struggles in our extended ministry abroad is that Christ is given secondary place in the lives of his people. I am hoping that one of the local men would come there and begin seriously undertaking this subject. I cannot pastor a church with a remote control. Mr. Gary said that to me 20 years ago. What do you want to do? You want to use a remote control down there? She was right. You don't know these people? I'm praying, and you should be praying. And a lot of our people are not on board. Not one person came to me and inquired about that work and the way forward. Not one person. I met two men in the parking lot at Trinity yesterday, and the first thing they asked me was about the ministry in Zimbabwe. Jackie, it's not my ministry. I'm going to be dead and gone. Christ is not secondary. The moment one has Christ and something else, they are serving an idol. This is what the apostle addressed in the book of Colossians and warns the church with these words in Colossians 2, 8 through 10. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. The scripture says, beware, be careful, not to be led on a path of teaching that insists on Christ plus anything else, or anyone else as a means of grace. Furthermore, we read in Romans 3, 24 and 25, look at these verses, write them down, study them. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. His righteousness. Christ is the only means of salvation. Two, Christ is the only mediator between God and man. Remember this. He's the only mediator. You know what's a mediator? You remember the days when you were in, I don't know if you were in the Catholic Church or the Anglican Church. Every so often you had to go to the priest. He put his hand on top of your head and you repeat some words and you leave forgiven. The next day you see that you're doing the same things again and again. You forgiven? You did a ritual. Ritual, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Notice who Christ is called. God, our Savior. 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 6. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Now, I have to pause here because this text is terribly abused by those who try to teach universal atonement. That's another faulty doctrine. They say that Christ died for every person in the world, and this cannot be true because other scripture does not support it. And a host of scripture don't support it. Christ said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them that you have given me out of the world. And I can share a host of scripture, but I don't have the time and the liberty to share the host of scripture. This verse in 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 6 does not teach universal salvation is abused. It's not taught in the Bible. This conclusion is based on the words of men. And the fault is found because of the phrase, all men in the text, that how it's good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. But if you were to read the scripture correctly in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, you would see who are the all men in view. The apostle says, I exhort you that you pray for kings and those that are in authority, you know, those kind of people, all kinds of people, God will save. The text tells us to pray for all kinds of men, those in authority, those in various places. For God's salvation is for all kinds of men. None are accepted. You hear me pray there for the Senate, the Congress, the men that are making wicked decisions. Pray for them. You don't know. Occasionally, God may save somebody. You don't know. And it happens sometimes. I remember I was asking for this guy when I was in the island of Barbados. I don't know if Charlie knew him. A guy named Mike Goddard. He was a reporter on horse racing. And he would write in the Advocate, Charlie, Michael Goddard. Yeah, I used to be with him on the Garson. He always arguing. So I was asking for him. And this guy said to me, oh, Mike Goddard? You're going to be rich, man. He's a preacher now. I said, yeah? He's a preacher? So I went on the net to check him out. And sure it is. This guy is pushing a lot of books. Christian books, because he was always into writing. But what I'm saying, whatever persuasion he is, I rejoice that the gospel still have an impact on sinners. And I was trying to reach, to track down this Michael Goddard, and I ain't finished yet. Because I'm looking to do some things in Barbados. I'm looking to track him down. So, but you used to run with me, Pani Garson. But what I'm saying is that God's salvation is for all kinds of people. Even for those who are writing about horse racing, Fanny Garson, Charlie. So if you look at Michael Goddard, Jackie, you just might find Mike Goddard is no longer supporting the Garson. He's supporting the gospel. God can do that to you here as well. To change your life like that. Can make a difference in your life where you turn from your habits to holiness. Yes, one mediator. Yeah. There's no intermediary figure or ritual that can appease the wrath of God but Christ. All of the rituals and typology in the Old Testament pointed worshipers to Christ. And that's why the Lord was so serious about it. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If there was another means of grace, it means that Christ wasted his blood. Many may say, yes, this is the truth in theory. But in practice, as I said, still holding to certain elements to support salvation, like the Eucharist. We strongly believe that there is some power, some grace in the Eucharist. Something is in that wafer. I'll tell you what's in it. Some flour. That's what's in it. Christ, the only mediator. Christ, the only means of salvation. Christ, the only mediator. And the last one that I have to cut short, I'm sorry. Now, these lectures are very informative, and so it means I would have to come back again. I can't just give a lecture and don't say anything in between, just read notes. I have to bring out things that come to mind as I share them. There's a difference between reading notes. So sometimes you may come here and just read a piece of paper, but your heart in there. And if your heart in something, it's going to come out, Jackie. And that's why I said teaching these lectures are not reading a piece of paper. They're heart conviction. And that's why I prefer to do them myself. There are things I believe, and there are things that I would be teaching, and that I would fight over, and that I would die for. But everybody doesn't have that. But lastly, Christ is the perfect man. Christ is the perfect man. God created Adam perfect in all his faculties. He could love God. He can fellowship with him. As a matter of fact, when God rested on the seventh day, and some of you should listen to this, Adam and Eve rested with God. They were Sabbatarians. They worshiped on the Sabbath. They weren't in the field digging up ground. They rested as a picture. God's first creatures serve him and worship on the Sabbath. Quickly after that, they fell. Christ is the perfect man. Adam fell, and all others who came after him in the world came into the world dead in trespasses and sins. Dead, spiritually dead. Romans 5:12 teach that. Christ, who is called the last Adam, came as another perfect man. Was not born the natural way where he had the bloodline of a man, Adam, but he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And the virgin birth is necessary in believing unto salvation. If you don't believe that, and that's why some people try to thwart the virgin birth. It can't happen. It never happened. Yeah, with God, all things are possible. God doesn't need the sperm of a man to conceive a baby in the womb. God spoke the world into existence. He can speak a child in the womb because he's God. Who are you telling me? God demands perfection. Be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. And since no man can be perfect, there must be one that is perfect who stands in on his behalf. That man is the perfect man, Christ. If you believe in Christ plus something else, you are a heretic. You understand what I'm saying, Sandrine? You see how serious it is? It is serious. And it must be taught from the pulpit. And when I get to worship, I will discuss more about worship. But people got all kinds of junk stick up on the wall and all people bind up. We will get to that too. Reformation is not just some doctrine. Is what the Lord meant when he said to the man come and inquire about salvation. The Lord said to him, if you will be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will find treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. The Lord with these words is implying that he is perfect. If you want to be perfect, give it all you got. Come and follow me. I'm the perfect one. They went away grief. Telling me to give up everything and follow you. You perfect? Yes, I am. And you will have treasure in heaven. Perfect man, Christ. Hebrews tell us, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. His perfection is given to those who obey him, to those who are converted, to those who are saved. The writer tells us this, that Christ was made perfect. If any person wants to find perfection, they can only find perfection in Christ. They must be in Christ. Apostle further stressed that God have ordained a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he have ordained, Wherefore, he have given assurance to all men in that he have raised him from the dead. He was perfect in his work. God was pleased with it. Raised him from the dead. God, Paul calls him that man. Notice Paul didn't call him that God, but that man, because that man is the judge. And because he is the judge, he can see the secrets of men. He's perfect. Perfect. That's why God keeps saying, your lamb must be without blemish. Don't bring no animal with his ear off to me, because I will consume you and your lamb. The lamb had to be perfect, because in typology, it is representing a perfect man. A lamb didn't sin. It's we that sin. So I would stop here. Hopefully, I will pick it up again the next time. Sola Christus. Why? He is the only means of grace, of salvation. He is the only mediator between God and man. He is the perfect man. Let's pray. Father, guide us as we go into these requests. Help us to focus on these things this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. A few minutes left. Or other foundation can no man lay, and that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11. Pray for the word of God, that it would have free course. Ask the Lord to prosper the ministry of the word in the lives of those who would hear. Please pray for this, Brother Presley. First request. Pray for Brother Desire July, Brother Colin. I spoke to Desire this morning, just as I promised. Who, when you hear all the noise, and you know where he was on the bus. I said, I just checking. See if you keep your promise. Presently on the road to Lusaka, en route to Ndola, Zambia. But pray that our brother will benefit from the lectures this week. It's a rough ride. Sometimes, a couple of times I was there when Desire was getting back. And you can see the fatigue, traveling all night, sticking up at the border, Lusaka, waiting for inspection. Then from Lusaka down to Harare. I'll pray for him as he goes and as he returns. This time, Brother Desire would not be seeing Pastor Kalafungwa, because he has to get back in a timely manner to the church. But pray for this, Brother Colin. And Brother Mason, pray for our brethren that are traveling. Ask the Lord continued guidance and protection in their lives. We also, if we have time, we can pray for our people that are sick. I spoke to Sister Johnson, and I spoke to her last week, and I am very concerned about Sister Johnson, and I want you to know, and I have some serious questions about Sister Johnson. You can sit here for years under the gospel, and the gospel doesn't seem to make an impression on you. And we saw a lady yesterday at Trinity, Anne Rimbach. Her husband, Vince, died some years ago, 3 years ago. And she used to be the secretary at Trinity. She came and she gave me a big hug. I stayed in her house a couple times. And you guys that were there saw it. You saw the affection that she showed towards me. And I'm glad that you see. And someone is 83 years old, still serving God, still struggling, still serving God. A lot of our people think that when they get old, they can resign to idleness. And I'm deeply concerned. They may not even be converted people. And when we pray, we need to start calling names and start speaking the truth. Only then would God work, when we speak to him in truth and stop glossing over things. If I have that deep concern as a pastor, as a layperson, you should have it too. Let's pray.